Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Pure Talk, my sponsor and my wireless company, are now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. Now, as you plan your summer travel, make sure that your wireless company covers you at home and abroad. Now you can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. That's less than half the price of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile for the exact same service. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today. Save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N.
Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
All right, happy Friday. We made it. Don't take this the wrong way. I know some of you really get frustrated with what I'm about to say. I stand with Nancy. You know, if this were a Republican woman being pushed out by the Republican Party, by conservatives, this would be, by definition, classic sexism, classic misogyny. I mean, just remember, poor Mitt Romney actually carried around the resumes of women daring to want to hope to hire them and give them jobs and advance their careers and make their lives better. He was horrible. Anyway, 800-941-SEAN, you want to be a part of the program. Our top story today. Now it's finally happening. The boomerang is beginning. Remember I've been saying there's an upside-down, topsy-turvy, corrupt, you know, a thing that's happening in Washington where right is wrong, wrong is right, up is down, down is up, and everything's topsy-turvy. Remember I said that? Remember I said the people that need to be investigated are not being investigated. 11 months of Trump and Russia and collusion has now died. And now with all the talk of investigative issues, it is now boomerang back right where I said it would and it should. And the things that we have been telling you, once again, a year ahead of the mainstream media, in that now it's Loretta Lynch's turn. And soon, I predict, it will be Hillary Clinton's turn. And if James Comey isn't more careful walking into the New York Times building, well, I'm not going to the New York Times where I leaked my articles, not at all. I tweeted out, well, next is MSNBC and then CNN and then my potential book publisher, and then the movie studio. All the things I said the day he got fired, which are coming in the future. You know, I got to tell you, it's just unbelievable. Now, I've got to tell you what's happening here and why it's happened. And this is what we've been telling you. The media has been ignoring. And it was inevitable. It's going to happen. The Democrats have now, the obstructionists that they are, have taken their obsession, which is destroy Trump, along with the media, the Democrats, the media, the deep state, and of course, weak Republicans and never Trumpers that want to be relevant and point their finger in our face and say, see, we were right. But I'll point my finger right back in theirs and say, you wouldn't have had Gorsuch. Good luck with that. And you would have had the biggest liar, most corrupt individual ever elected to the presidency, which is Hillary Clinton. It was inevitable. You cannot, in the course of investigating with no evidence, no proof whatsoever, when Feinstein and Warner and Manchin and even Maxine Waters and Clapper and Brennan and Comey and Rogers and everybody in intelligence, not one person, not one to date has said there's any evidence of Trump-Russia collusion. I never understood it anyway. What was the collusion that maybe somebody in the Trump campaign talked to somebody in Russia because Russia supposedly had the information that Hillary Clinton had destroyed on her server when she committed a felony and tried to cover up her crimes? And that they might say, as the Trump campaign representative, wow, you have that? Tell the American people the truth. Let them see it themselves. Release it. Is that a crime to say release it? To show the truth? To show damaging information? Now, my interviews with Julian Assange and most of the media, they're too lazy to get their ass on a plane. What do we fly down there? British Airways and get on a jet and land in London. And I was on the ground during my vacation over Christmas. And I went to see Julian Assange at the Ecuadorian embassy, just like we've had him on radio many times. And I've interviewed him many times. And Julian Assange repeatedly says it's not a state. It's not Russia. If one guy in the world knows who gave him the information for WikiLeaks on the DNC emails, well, that would be Julian Assange. And that information, you might recall, led to the firing of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others on the eve of the Democratic National Convention. Now, the only reason is the fix was in. It was rigged. The bottom line is they were corrupt. They had rigged the system. They had been so brutal, so dishonest, so corrupt to Bernie Sanders, his supporters. By the way, I actually think that there's a RICO case in this investigation out there. What is the RICO? Well, misrepresenting the use of funds at the DNC, saying you're going to be fair and honest and an even broker in a campaign, in a primary election, and then turning and colluding with one campaign, Hillary Clinton, and putting the fix in so one candidate, it's impossible for him to win, Bernie Sanders. And it's so corrupt at its heart and its heart and soul. I just think at this point we shouldn't even be done with that. No wonder the DNC didn't want the DHS, Obama DHS Secretary Jay Johnson, to look at their computers because their corruption, their lies, their rigging would have been exposed, which I would argue may be criminal in some ways. And I think we'll get some smart lawyers looking into that question now that the boomerang is coming back. Now we've got the issue of Loretta Lynch. Finally, because Russia-Trump collusion. Russia-Trump collusion. Oh, no collusion. Okay, James Comey leaks to the New York Times. I do this every day. Follow, and I want you to be able to say it as fast as I can. James Comey purposely leaks to the New York Times with the desired goal to get a special counsel. And even Rosenstein, who wrote the memo to fire Comey, he says, all right, well, we don't have Russia-Trump collusion. Now let's look into obstruction and the firing of James Comey and maybe even financial matters involving Jared Kushner. And by the way, forget that I said to fire Comey. We've got to look into whether or not Comey was fired for political reasons by Trump to start an investigation, even though I recommended it. So what I'll do is I'll help hire James Comey's BFF, Robert Mueller. And Robert Mueller will go out and hire Hillary Clinton's attorney and as many Obama and Clinton supporters and donors as he can possibly find. Oh, no, that's honest. And then once we can't find the original purpose for the investigation, we'll just bring up and we'll have mission investigative creep and we'll just look into everything and throw all this up against the wall and see if something at some point down the line 3 years later sticks like a perjury trap in the case of Scooter Libby.
That's what they've done here. And you're saying, Hannity, that didn't happen. Yes, it did. And what have we learned in the process? That Loretta Lynch herself, finally the investigation begins and the Senate Judiciary Committee announcing that they are launching this investigation into whether Loretta Lynch tried to obstruct justice to help Hillary Clinton win the 2016 presidential election. There's real evidence here. There's real information here. There is real corruption here. And if you don't believe me, it was totally inappropriate for her to get on a tarmac plane with Bill Clinton. Now, I talked to sources recently that actually say that Bill Clinton on his schedule may have been saying that, I think it was Phoenix, that he was supposedly be out there playing golf and that usual procedures were not followed, both in terms of where the airport was, where the planes were parked, the people that knew, and even security that was supposed to and usually would be informed. So that's something, and I will make sure that the Senate Judiciary Committee has this information, which I'm pretty sure they already have. And the Washington Times points out in a letter to Loretta Lynch, the committee is asking her to detail the depths of her involvement in the FBI's Clinton email investigation, including whether she ever assured Clinton confidants that the probe, quote, wouldn't push too deeply into the matter. Well, then that adds the second part of this equation, her going to James Comey and saying to James Comey, the FBI director, remember, she's his boss. And he was stunned when she said, let's not call it an investigation, let's call it a matter. Straight out of Clinton campaign talking points. Well, how could it not be an investigation? It had to be an investigation because the mishandling of classified information, top secret information, special access program information is a crime by definition. Gross negligence are the words in the law that Hillary Clinton would have had to violate. And even James Comey admitted back in July of last year that it was not, well, he used his own terms, whatever he said, exceedingly careless. Well, what's the difference between careless and gross negligence? And what's the, how is it not mishandling of those documents when you put it in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet? And then, of course, then you have other crimes. Like, for example, deleting, hiding, covering up, destroying special access program information, top secret information, etc. And Hillary Clinton did that when she destroyed her 33,000 emails, which is why if somebody in the Trump campaign, some lower level person or maybe a campaign person actually said to the Russians, you have it? Wow, she destroyed it. The American people deserve to know the truth. That's not collusion. That would be advancing the truth for the American people so they can make a good decision. Not that anyone ever did it, but if they did, so what? Who would care? I wouldn't. That's good for the American people to know the truth. Just like her lie about Benghazi. Oh, spontaneous demonstration. Yeah? Who has a spontaneous demonstration with an RPG and mortars in their back pocket? She lies with abandon, has always lied with abandon. Going back to the days that William Safire, the once real conservative at the New York Times, referred to her as a congenital liar. It's in the genes. He was right then, and it stands true today. She's not an honest individual. She didn't tell the truth when that was a spontaneous demonstration. The definition of gross negligence, that was met by Comey's own words when he said recklessness, extreme recklessness. It's unbelievable to me. So then you've got Loretta Lynch on the tarmac. Then Loretta Lynch saying it's not an investigation, it's a matter. And then I think the smoking gun that could put her in jail and get her indicted is her, apparently Comey confronting her with evidence from people that talked to Loretta Lynch that the fix was in regarding Hillary. And that's the whole issue when she confronted Loretta Lynch, according to Sarah Carter and John Solomon, Circa News, that Comey confronted Lynch with evidence that said she had put the kibosh on any possible indictment, regardless of what the evidence would have shown as it regards Hillary Clinton. Well, isn't that nice of the attorney general to have a two-tier justice system in this country? Isn't that nice of her? So anyway, they want to know and get answers to these questions. The FBI director said that Lynch tried to shape the way that he talked about the investigation, make it a matter. Then we have the report from
Sarah Carter and John Solomon, their sources to date have been impeccable, and they've been way ahead of the curve. And Charles Grassley said in the letter to Ms. Lynch, it's signed also by the Democratic ranking member Dianne Feinstein and by Lindsey Graham and Sheldon Whitehouse. Now, that's the chairman and ranking member of the key investigative subcommittee. So finally, now the shoe is underway. The shoe is on the other foot. It's boomeranged. And the next natural investigation to follow is Hillary Clinton. And the statute of limitations have not passed here. And I will tell any of you that if you mishandled classified information, destroyed classified information, and because of your mishandling, five foreign intelligence agencies got access to it, you would be in jail today, including me. Tired of this two-tier justice system among the elite, powerful, connected, the arrogant against we the people. It's time for the truth to be told. Democrats, you caused this. You push and you push, you push your lies, conspiracy theories, and falsehoods. You know what? You opened the door for all of this. So maybe we owe you a debt of gratitude. And by the way, Mueller needs to recuse himself. Rosenstein, gone. Their conflicts are so numerous and so glaring, it's disgusting to me as a country. Hey, with optimism once again on the rise in America, the working people of this country are more important than ever. Well, now they have a podcast that celebrates them and tells their stories. On the Job, From Hired to Retired. Well, it's a new podcast from our friends at Express Employment Professionals that digs into the lives of men and women at work and explores their journeys as they fight to make the American dream a reality. On the Job takes the listener through the ups and downs of making a living in America. Now check out the new podcast, On the Job, From Hired to Retired, on iHeartRadio, iTunes, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Or just go to expresspros.com/podcast for more information. You know what's hard to do in life? It's hard to hate as much as all of these deep state Democrats destroy Trump media. Don't you, Linda, isn't this true? Because I say this to you all the time. Linda has her list, her hate list.
I do not have a hate list. Hold on a minute.
No, you have. Just be honest. You can't lie to the audience.
First of all, I never lie to the audience. I am not a Democrat. I don't lie.
Ethan, put your mic on. How many people
Ethan
are on the
Ethan can't
Linda
answer
hate
right
list?
Now because he's doing something for me at the front desk.
Oh, great. Okay. I know what he's doing, too. It's for me, actually, not for you.
That's correct.
All right. But there is you have a hate list. Just be honest. How many people are on the real hate list that you just hate?
23.
Oh, okay. So why did you just lie to the audience?
I did not lie to the audience. I would say that there's a difference in the title that I give it. Do you want to know the real title?
What do you call your hate list?
Individuals who deserve to be hated.
Okay, it's a hate list.
But that's deserve it. It's not like I just randomly hate them.
I didn't say it wasn't deserved.
Well, listen, you need to specify.
But I always say to you, it takes a lot of energy to remember. Like, you get really ticked off at me. Mark Levin gets ticked off at me about this, too. You know something? You know what your problem is? You just forget. You just don't care anymore. And I'm like, I still hate them because they did that to you and you don't even remember. He says that to me. I'm like, I forgot. You're right. But to hate, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time.
It does not take any energy, actually, because I eliminate them from my life and I never have to think about them ever again.
You're not connected to reality. You're just not.
I'm actually hyper-connected. That's what makes me so good at my job.
Okay, you're great at your job, but the 23 people on your hate list, if I mention those names, and I can, at least some of them, if I mention it to you, you bubble and fizz, your face changes.
I don't bubble and fizz.
Yes, you bubble and then you contort and all of a sudden I do not contort. The lightness and brightness and happiness and joy in your life dissipates and flows out of you and it gets replaced by this darker, meaner side. And what do I keep telling you? I keep telling you, you've got it in life. You got to put people. I have a vertical list and I put some people at the top of the list and that's my expectation level of them. It's what you expect and don't receive.
Well, see, that
sometimes
takes a lot of energy too. See, I don't expect anything of them because I hate them. It removes them from all expectations.
If you're at the bottom of my expectation list, I don't expect you to be something that you're not.
How come you don't talk about the people I love? I got a lot of those too, you know.
How many are on the love list?
So many more.
If you make it on the love list, God, you could do no wrong.
That's right.
For the rest of your life.
See how lucky?
Wait a minute. That's actually not true.
Why?
There are certain things they can do. All right, when we come back, why am I talking about hate? Because the liberal hatred of this president is unprecedented. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program.
You know, so I was bringing this up with Linda, and she has the, a hate list that she calls, well, those that deserve to be hated list, and I hate them. And she can hold a grudge. Mark Levin gets so mad at me. By the way, the great one will be on Monday. His new book is phenomenal. We have it up on Hannity.com. And it's one of Mark's classics and only a book that Mark can write. And it's on Amazon.com. You want to get an early copy of it. It's really worthwhile. It's just really amazing. And I don't know. I just think hating takes too much energy.
It does not take too much energy if you do it properly.
I'm sorry, I don't know. You know, my father even said this to me years ago. He goes, you don't remember, do you? I'm like, I don't know. But I do remember my sisters, every annoying thing that they did, because they would start a fight, and they're like the kid in the back of the class that would pull the ponytail, and then the girl turns around and whacks the guy in the head, and she'd get in trouble. And meanwhile, it's the boy that started it. But anyway, all these people, look, in this business, there's so many backstabbing, cutthroat, hyper-ambitious, you know, unprincipled people that work in
lying,
this business.
Lying, fake,
fraudulent, in other words, liberal Joe. I mean, he pretty much encompasses all of those
and
issues.
And now his wife, to be.
Oh, I'm offering therapy for them because I'm really worried. I heard they had another emotional breakdown this morning.
I don't think you have enough money for that therapy.
Well, only for a year. I'm not going to go bankrupt over...
I would say 3 months. They're going to need multiple daily visits.
All right, I didn't say multiple. I said, like, well, if people go to therapy. I asked Howard Stern this once, and I couldn't believe his answer. I said, wait a minute. You're one of the richest guys in the world, and you're telling me you go to therapy 3, 4, 5 days a week, and you go home after work, and you sit in your basement and smoke pot, which, by the way, I think he's changed. I think that was years ago. And then he starts explaining what happened to him that caused him to do this. I'm like, oh, my God, this is too nuts to me. And he's very smart, very creative, so much smarter than some people. They dismiss him, but they've never listened to him than they ever give this guy credit for. And I've always liked him. He's entertaining. He's smart. What I think made him the great success that he is his brutal honesty. And also
the fact that he didn't take any crap.
And he never took any crap. You know what? I admire him for not taking crap. Absolutely. Because that's where we are. We're not taking any crap.
See, and people who don't take crap often have lists.
Yeah,
lists of people
that deserve
to be ignored.
I hate people. They annoy me for like 48 hours and then I'm done with it because I want to move on with my life. I just, they're not worth my time or energy. And when I fight, I go fight. And then when I'm done fighting, I'm like, all right, I'm almost ready to shake hands.
So are you going to be friends with Joe and Mika then?
I could see one day.
Oh, my God. Do not say it out loud. I will hold it over your head forever. Don't do it.
I tried to be nice to
you. You have a list, too. Don't do it.
You got mad at me when I tweeted out that congratulations. This is not a time for politics or disagreement. You know, congratulations on your engagement. And I meant it, and I was being sincere. The fact that they're jackasses every day and having these unhinged, emotional, insane breakdowns because Donald Trump is the president, and they have that snooty, snotty, arrogant, nose-up-in-the-sky attitude to be thick in the park and laying out a picnic blanket and caviar and champagne. I just can't take that attitude when so many people in this country are suffering and he's calling the president of the United States a schmuck one week and lecturing us how we all need to get along the next week. I'm tired. And by the way, he's a Republican one day. You know, there are stories about Joe. If he pushes me too far, I'm going there. And you know exactly.
No, you won't, because you're going to forget, and you're going to be friends with him, right? Because you're going to forget in a couple days.
No. I'm getting closer to going there than I've ever been, because he's such a jackass.
So you're not going to the wedding, then?
I haven't been invited to the wedding. I don't go to weddings. I didn't go to your wedding. I gave you a choice. I gave Linda a choice. A big check, or I go and show up at your wedding, which was 400 miles out in Montauk. And I chose...
You're going to give Joe a choice, though.
No, Joe's not getting a gift from me.
Maybe you should give the gift of sanity. Hannity sanity.
Well,
I offered
him free therapy for him and Mika, because if they keep this emotional, you know, breakdown going every day,
I'm
going to
make a little gift basket for them with like little pictures
of bath salts.
And I'm going to send it on bath
because you're going to be
you're
vicious.
A Christian man and you want to be nice and you want to forgive people and get them off your hate list. So I'll give them a little present.
I've changed in my life. I just don't care anymore. There are things I don't care. I will. There's nobody. You know what I'm going to do tonight on TV? We're going to name the two people that are most responsible for fake news in America. That's what we're doing tonight on TV. You know, so anyway. All right. Let me get back to my issues. All right. So finally, Loretta Lynch is now going to be investigated for obstruction. We've been calling for it.
We've been saying that Hillary Clinton, we can't have a two-tier justice system, which is what James Comey gave her when we know she committed felonies, when we know there was corruption at the Clinton Foundation, pay to play, and it's time for justice to be served for Hillary. Now that the Democrats have gone 11 months in the media and they've gone 6-7 months in the Senate and the House, it does not shock or surprise me. As a matter of fact, we've been predicting it. Is that they have opened the door to the discussion about the real crimes against the Espionage Act being violated against General Flynn. That needs to be investigated. Loretta Lynch's obstruction, Hillary Clinton's felonies, Hillary's pay to play, James Comey's, you know, violation of the Records Act. If we're going to get into the purity of the law, Democrats are the ones that have committed crimes here. And the deep state selectively leaking to hurt the president, every person involved in those leaks. And I have my suspicions where it all comes from and who it is all connected to. And they're formally very high up, but still actively involved for political purposes. Because remember, the deep state, those that leak intelligence, those that have weaponized intelligence gathering that should be used for the safety and security of you, the American people, and those that violate your Fourth Amendment constitutional rights, and that is, you know, being violated so often, so readily, and trampling on the Constitution, unreasonable search and seizure, they all need to now be investigated. Those that have violated the laws, prosecuted. Those that are found guilty, put in jail. I would say the person most obviously guilty is Hillary. The next is Loretta Lynch. The next are those leaking in the deep state. I know what their names are. I will keep it quiet for a while. But it's all going to come out. There's no way at this point they have pushed so hard that they are the ones that are responsible for making this happen. And their hatred, which was my original point here, is now so over the top, I won't even play the old stuff. Let me just play the new things from today. Like, for example, the state's Democratic Party chairman in Nebraska for technology, listen to him describe that he's glad Steve Scalise got shot, wishing Steve Scalise dead. This is your modern, liberal, unhinged Democratic Party. Listen.
Let me tell you, that motherfucker, was the one who was shot, the Scafie guy? I mean, that guy, what's his name, Chasey?
I really don't want you to deflect right now.
No, this motherfucker. Like, his whole job is, like, to get people, convince Republicans to kick people off health care.
We know all of this.
I hate this motherfucker. I'm glad he got shot.
We've laid in our...
I'm glad he got shot.
Dude.
I'm not going to say that in public.
You don't have
well, then, what are you saying it to us for?
Say something.
What are you telling us for?
I wish he was f***ing dead.
Why are you telling us, but not telling anyone else?
I'm trying to figure out...
It's okay, because I've been recording this conversation since you've come in, so I will publicly release it myself.
And it's released. So where is the leaders of the Democratic Party? Where's Obama, who would have been so upset? Now, one of the things I've been saying on this program, Barack Obama's president. Well, Hannity, you were so mean to Barack Obama. Why? Because I exposed him as an Alinsky disciple, that I exposed that he is like family to me, Reverend Wright, and the hate and his love of black liberation theology and what the roots and origins and belief system was about, that makes me hateful? No, it does not. Or that I talked about his mentor, you know, from Hawaii. What was the guy's name? You know, Frank Marshall Davis. Or that I talked about his Acorn organizing. We all know about Acorn, what they represent politically. Or his associations. He's just a guy in the neighborhood that I started my political career in his house. I gave speeches with, sat on boards with. Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, part of a group that bombed the Pentagon, the Capitol, and New York City Police Headquarters. But I did say this numerous times, too many times to count. I'll give you just two examples of me saying when the president, then President Obama, was being threatened in any way, we've got to protect our country's president. I would never and never have spoken like these people on the left. For example, let's go back to 2014. Then we'll go to 2015, and we can go back further if you really want to hear them all. Mr. Speaker, you're going to have strong feelings about this. We've now learned that this guy that broke into the White House, not only did he get in the door,
But he knocked down a Secret Service agent, went into three different rooms of the White House, and passed the stairs that would have gone right up to the residence of the Obamas. That is extraordinarily chilling to me.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about protecting the President of the United States of America, and it's just there's no room for error. You've got to protect our president. That represents the free world. So they've got a very difficult job. They've got to almost be perfect. And anytime any incident happens, lately it's becoming pretty high profile. Well,
Sean Hannity saying that about President Obama. Oopsie-daisy. And in light of Democrats now calling for, I'm happy Steve Scalise got shot. Well, let's go to another Hollywood so-called actor basically issuing a fatwa against President Trump. Oh, when's the last time an actor assassinated a president? Now he since has apologized. I intended no malice. Really, Johnny Depp? Johnny Depp should be arrested, investigated by the Secret Service for this. Listen.
Jesus Christ, can you bring Trump here? You've misunderstood completely.
Just give him some love and rehabilitation.
I think he needs help. I'm just going to be in the press and be horrible. But I'd like to think you're all a part of it. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
Stop it there because we're out of time. 1 o'clock. I'm not an actor. I lie for a living. Oh, actors, of course they lie. That's not them. Johnny Depp was a radical Islamist. That would be called issuing a fatwa, call for violence against a Western target. And, before he issued his pronouncement, he said he knew what he was about to say was, quote, would be in the press, but he said it anyway. And Johnny Depp joined the likes of Kathy Griffin in her ISIS pose. Or Madonna, who thinks an awful lot about blowing up the White House. Or Joe Biden, who wants to take the president behind, the schoolyard or wherever he wants to have a fight with him. Or Robert De Niro wanting to punch him in the face. Or Shakespeare in the park. And, of course, well, do you even know what century Shakespeare lived in? Romeo, 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 wherefore art thou Romeo? Of course, the average person that has no work is on food stamps and out of the labor force. They really give a flying rip about Shakespeare in the park. And I didn't know Julius Caesar was about killing Trump. Don't you understand the imagery and profundity, profound nature of all of this? The deep, 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 symbolism associated with this. How the past, written even before Donald Trump, can represent the future. Okay. Go sip on your champagne and your caviar and sit on your little blankie at the park. You'll meet Joe and Mika there. You got 30 GOP congressmen now targeted by Trump haters since May. Did you know that? James Hotchkinson, Trump-hating Bernie Sanders backer who tried to gun down 20-plus Republican congressmen, had a six-person assassination list. Well, there are 30 members of Congress, and we'll put it on the screen on TV tonight, that have been targeted with death threats since the beginning of May. And it goes on. Wendy Wright, arrested after stalking David Acosta of Tennessee. Virginia Representative Garrett needed heavy security. Representative Kramer. I can go on. I can give you the dates and times and exact examples. We've actually interviewed some of these people. It's all on my website, by the way, Hannity.com. One last thing. The media does not get Trump. When Donald Trump said, you better not lie, there may be tapes. Did he say he taped anybody? No. I knew the second. Remember we did it on the air? None of us believed. Maybe one of us thought maybe. Who thought maybe?
I think Lauren was a little maybe-ish.
Lauren was a little. Sunshine was a little maybe. We all knew that he was casting doubt in the mind of somebody he knew more than us at the time was hostile to him and probably leaning towards lying or had a propensity to lie. Well, now we know that he violated the Records Act and leaked to the New York Times. So Trump was right to cast that doubt, force Comey to tell more truth than he probably otherwise would have done. A stroke of genius by Trump. Well, anybody could be taped by the deep state and all the surveillance and unmasking and everything else that's happening. Who knows if there's a tape out there. Brilliant. Stroke of genius. And the media is mad because they know it was brilliant.
All right, as we roll along, all right, two big top stories. Senate finally announcing the probe into Loretta Lynch's possible obstruction of justice. I think the case is very strong, and I say that will lead to the investigation into Hillary, and things have boomeranged. Also, should Johnny Depp be arrested?
Let me tell you, that motherfucker, was the one who was shot, the Scafie guy? I mean, that guy, what's his name, Chase?
I really don't want you to deflect right now.
No, this motherfucker, like, his whole job is, like, to get people, convince Republicans to kick people off health care.
We know all of this.
I hate this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got shot.
We've laid in our...
I'm glad he got shot.
Dude.
I'm not gonna say that in public.
You don't have
to. Well, then what are you saying it to us for?
Say something.
What are you telling us for?
I wish he was f***ing dead.
Why are you telling us, but not telling anyone else?
I'm trying to figure out.
It's okay, because I've been recording this conversation since you've come in, so I will publicly release it myself.
Jesus Christ, can you bring Trump here? No, you've misunderstood completely.
Just give him some love and rehabilitation.
I think he needs help. It's going to be in the press, it'll be horrible. But I like that you're all a part of it. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president? I want to clarify, I'm not an actor. I lie for a living.
It would seem as if the president may have been lying all along about the existence of these tapes.
No, he's just wasted the country's collective time speculating over whether these tapes existed or not. It's a sad day when you cannot depend on the president's word. And, you know, my advice would just be to Republicans who do cozy up to him. It's just like hugging a suicide bomber. He blows you up in the process with him.
It's like hugging us. That's a little strong, at least.
Yeah, I mean, if you go out on a limb, if you're a Republican who went out on a limb and defended Donald Trump over saying, well, he's got tapes that are going to back up his point of view, you just got blown up, too.
All right. That one, of course, was on MSNBC. And by the way, I've always known Elise Jordan. I didn't know she had those extreme views. That was pretty bizarre. And then you've got Johnny Depp. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president? Then you got a Nebraska technology chairman for the state's Democratic Party. Oh, he's glad Steve Scalise got shot. Really? You're glad about that? Joining us now, he was one of the people that was actually mentioned on the assassination list. He's a good friend of the program. Jim Jordan is with the Freedom Caucus, their former chairman. He joins us now. You know, I had a chance to meet your wife when I was speaking to the Republican Women's Group this week. And by the way, you married way above your pay grade, but that's only part of it. But, you know, I even spoke to the women about how hard it must be for them, you know, to watch now targeted assassination lists of Republicans. And you being specifically mentioned, I'm sure it's been particularly tough on you.
Well, thanks, John. You did a great job. Polly and a number of other folks we talked to, you did a great job at that event earlier this week. So, Polly sure enjoyed that. You know, look, we're actually not supposed to talk about it much. We were briefed by the Capitol Hill Police on the issue. The one thing I have said, though, is that I think is interesting. 6 months ago, this guy was no different than all these left-wing activists who put the angry post on Facebook, who send the angry letter to the editor, who have the signs that say all kinds of disgusting things on them. No different than that. And then, you know, obviously he went crazy, went over the edge and did this terrible thing to Congressman Scalise and was trying to hurt others and did hurt some others. But what I find interesting is 6 months ago, no different than the people we see at the town halls we go to back in our district. And I think that's why some of this is just, let's hope this language that you just played some of that stuff, let's hope that stops.
Do you think it gets to the point that if you're Madonna, who thinks an awful lot about blowing up the White House or any of the other incendiary comments that we have had to deal with, I mean, you won't believe what, you know, it's not just Johnny Depp, but it's so many other people out there. 30 GOP congressmen have been attacked or threatened since May, a Washington Free Beacon report today. You've got professors on college campuses openly calling for violence against the president. Do you think that there were over 12,000 Trump assassination posts, according to one metric on Twitter? Do you think it's time to arrest
these people that are making these threats. You can't make a terroristic threat against the president of the United States.
Well, you know, look, we have the First Amendment. I get nervous about that. The left, you know, you think about their reaction to the First Amendment. I go back to what happened in the last administration with their attacks on the First Amendment, with the Internal Revenue Service going after conservative groups. Going after their basic rights for, you know, to speak out on in a political nature and attacking there. So I get real concerned about any time anything might infringe on our basic liberties. One of the comments you played in the opening there was about how someone referred to how President Trump's misleading the American people. I tell you who misled the American people? The guy who orchestrated this special counsel. Jim Comey misled the American people, Sean, when he last year, at the direction of the Attorney General, said to call the Clinton investigation a matter when, in fact, it was an investigation. He did it willfully. He did it intentionally. He did it at the direction of the United States Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General, telling the FBI director to mislead the American people. And then this year, he misled the American people when he allowed and furthered the perception that President Trump was under investigation when, in fact, he wasn't and had been told he wasn't three times by the FBI director. We want to talk about misleading. That's the misleading that took place that we need to investigate.
Well, I got that. And, of course, you know, finally we've got some positive movement today. You know, finally we got to the point where the Senate is announcing a probe of Loretta Lynch. How inappropriate that she meets with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. How inappropriate she's lecturing the FBI director. It's a matter. It's not an investigation.
Yep.
And then it gets even worse because the FBI director confronted her with information that, in fact, that the fix was in by her for Hillary from the get-go.
Yeah.
Now, I also want to know, we know that Hillary Clinton, you know, committed felony. She mishandled top secret information, classified information, special access program information. She destroyed such information. Both of those we know off the top are felonies.
Yep. Sure
I don't
did.
Think I think I'd be in jail, to be honest.
Yeah, she sure did. Not to mention the special deal her chief of staff got, the immunity deal Cheryl Mills got. Not to mention the special immunity deal that Brian Pagliano got, who set up the server in the first place. And as you rightly mentioned, Dianne Feinstein, the Democrat ranking member on the Senate Intel Committee, said that we should investigate Loretta Lynch. So we have the Democrat ranking member saying this is so egregious when the Attorney General tells the FBI director to mislead the American people that we should look into it. So let's start looking into it. And that's what we called for. We called for the House Judiciary Committee to start looking into this matter as well.
Well, I totally agree with you. Do you think it is wrong that you have this group of people that we know committed crimes, the deep state, leaking, you know, raw intelligence on General Flynn, which is a violation of the Espionage Act, a felony? Clear evidence that Loretta Lynch is up to her eyeballs in potential obstruction of justice. Hillary Clinton, known felonies, mismanagement, mishandling of classified information, destruction of such as well, both separate felonies. Then, of course, if you want a real Russia conspiracy theory, we have everything that went on with
right.
with Uranium One.
Yeah, all this would be looked into. And it should happen in the Judiciary Committee in both the House and the Senate. Senator Grassley's talking about that. That's the appropriate committee to start looking at this Comey matter and this and the Lynch matter. And frankly, the fact that Comey testified 2 weeks ago that he leaks a government memo, gives it to a friend who leaks it to the New York Times, and what was his stated objective? What was his goal? To create momentum for a special counsel, and not just any special counsel, but his friend, his mentor, his predecessor, Bob Mueller. That should be looked at as well. So let's start in getting the information, getting these documents, and begin the hearing and begin looking into all these matters.
No, I agree. I mean, let me play some of the tape. This is when Comey testified. And remember, I want the audience to know he leaked to the New York Times for the very purpose of getting a special counsel. He actually coordinated with Robert Mueller before he gave his testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee. On top of that, Rosenstein, you know, now we have mission creep. Now we go from Russia collusion, no evidence by anybody. So now let's move on to obstruction. Let's go on to financial issues.
And never forget, the House of Representatives passed a resolution 2 years ago calling for a special counsel in the IRS targeting scandal. We had passed a resolution, and James Comey and then Attorney General Holder said no. Last year, there were numerous calls for a special counsel in the Clinton investigation. Senator Cornyn was one of the people who called for it. And again, James Comey and Loretta Lynch said no. But when it's about James Comey's reputation, when it's about someone in the Justice Department, oh my goodness, we will leak information, government memo, to the New York Times in order to create momentum for a special counsel because it involves James Comey. Now, how is that equal justice? How is that equal treatment under the law?
I think that's well said. Let's listen to this tape.
Did you show copies of your memos to anyone outside of the Department of Justice?
Yes.
And to whom did you show copies?
I asked, President tweeted on Friday after I got fired that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night because it didn't dawn on me originally that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
And was that Mr. Wittes?
No, no.
Who was that?
A good friend of mine who's a professor at Columbia Law School.
This is outrageous to me, and frankly, I believe that that is a violation of 18 U.S.C. 641 because that was a government document, and the Records Act prohibits what he did.
Yep, I think you're probably right. All the more reason why we should have hearings and ask those kind of questions and find out if, in fact, it was a violation of law. I think it was, too. But let's have the hearings. Let's get the memo. We haven't seen the memo yet, for goodness sake. You know, this one memo that he put together after his meeting with President Trump in the Oval Office, he said he didn't do it for any other meetings he had. I mean, that's interesting too, Sean. Why didn't James Comey memorialize important conversations with senior Justice Department officials the day that they decided to give Cheryl Mills immunity? Why didn't he memorialize conversations with senior Justice Department officials the day they decide that it's okay that Clinton met with President Clinton met with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac? Were there any conversations after that? My guess there were. Why didn't he memorialize those conversations? So he has this one memo, this quote important memo we've yet to see that he leaks. All those are the kind of things we got to get to when he's under oath and other people are under oath in front of the Judiciary Committee.
All right, on the other side of this break, we will continue with Congressman Jim Jordan and much more straight ahead on this Friday. All right, we continue now with Ohio Congressman, Freedom Caucus member Jim Jordan. Let me ask this, you know, so much is being made. I actually think it was a stroke of genius on two fronts. When the president tweeted out, well, I hope there's not tapes out there. You better not lie. And the implication in most people's minds was, oh, he taped them. I've known Donald Trump for all these years. I knew there wasn't a chance in hell that he taped them. But I also knew that he was putting doubt in Comey's mind because we now know just how much resentment Comey had, how disgruntled he was, how politically driven he was. So it's a good thing Trump did it to keep him honest. But more importantly, it also exposed the deep state. And the president says, you know what? In this day and age of surveillance and unmasking and leaking, all of us could be taped. How do I know?
Yeah. Well, you may, in fact, be right on all that, Sean. What I do know is what James Comey did. Misled the American people twice, leaked government information through a friend to the New York Times. He did it to cover his own backside. He stated himself under oath. He did it for that, and he did it to create the momentum for his buddy to be the special counsel. That to me is not the way I think the former FBI director, a guy who ran the FBI, should be conducting business. And again, I think it just underscores this unequal treatment that some people think they deserve. That's not how the law is supposed to work in this great country. Yeah. Hillary Clinton, James Comey should be treated just like any of the folks I get to represent. I have the privilege of representing in the 4th District. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law in the United States of America, and we're not seeing that play out in the Lynch and in the Holder Justice Departments, and that's a problem.
By the way, would it even matter? I mean, let's be honest here. Let's say that, you know, all these reports that Russia might have gotten what Hillary Clinton illegally got rid of, and somebody from the Trump campaign goes, you got it? Release it. Let the public see the truth. Would that be so bad?
I think the truth is exactly what the American people deserve.
Right. So who cares? If I was working for Trump.
So let's get to the truth.
I mean, what were they afraid of? Oh, Hillary released these emails. Oh, the DNC emails that they wouldn't let the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security see. And I think now we know the reason why, because they had a lot to hide, which was the absolute abuse of power, collusion, corruption against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, let's exactly right. Let's let the American people see the truth. And let's certainly not have people in high positions in our government misleading the American people. Remember, the central figure in this scandal last year, this investigation, Clinton investigation,
We know she misled the American people, too, back during the Benghazi affair when she that very night tried to blame it on a video when she knew she told her daughter it was Al-Qaeda, that it was a terrorist attack, and yet she told the American people it was the cause of the video. Yeah. So the very night, while Tyrone Woods is still on the roof, she's already misleading the American people. Again, that's not supposed to be how it works in this great country.
You know, I got to say that I mean this sincerely. If it wasn't for guys like you and Louie and Mark Meadows and all the and Brat and all you Freedom Caucus guys, it'd be really lonely fighting this battle. It's like you're the only group that makes any sense. We need to double the size of the Freedom Caucus.
We're working on it. We just had a win on. We had a win in South Carolina.
Yeah, big time.
Going to be part of our group.
Big time. All right. Jim Jordan, have a great weekend. Thank you,
too,
so much for being with us.
Take care.
800-941-SHAWN. The pollster, John McLaughlin. How is it they're always wrong? All these people. Also, we're going to bring in Jesse Jane Duff. I mean, this woman is an amazing 20 years active duty Marine Corps, retired gunnery sergeant. We have some important questions about the deep state for her and much more as we continue on this Friday.
I want to show what you say and then get your response here. You said, I don't believe in moral victories. The only measure of success in political campaigns is victory. I don't believe everyone should get a trophy. Here's the truth. The Democratic Party has a toxic brand, one that is worse than Donald Trump's in many parts of the country. Explain, sir.
Well, it happens to be true. I mean, we all have a lot of anger towards what Donald Trump is doing, but we've had four special elections and Donald Trump 4, Democrats 0. And I hate to admit that. It hurts. It's painful. But we've got to get our act together because there's a lot of people relying on us. And I worry sometimes that we get so obsessed and angered by Donald Trump, which is okay, but you can't hold on to it because it takes your eye off the ball. And we're not focusing on the economic messages. People in Ohio, Don, aren't really talking about Russia or Michael Flynn or Putin or anything else. They're worried about paying the bills, what's happening with our pension. How much does it cost to send a kid to school? What's our energy bill like? Real bread and butter stuff. And when we're talking about Trump so much, we're not talking about them.
We need to get back in the room making the decisions. We have to come up with a strategy, with a message that resonates with people all across this country. But most importantly, we have to have a credible messenger giving that message.
So you've been outspoken about this. Have you heard from Nancy Pelosi?
No, I have not. And I understand. Look, politics is a rough business, Chris. You know that, given your personal history. But you can't take things personally, okay? And by the way, let me say, this is not anything personal between me and Nancy Pelosi. I have enormous respect for her. She has been a great leader. But like every leader, in time immemorial, it's time for people to know when to go. And sometimes it's hard to get people who are in power, who are used to that, to say, you know what, I need to step back and do what's best for this party. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi believes that she is the one that can lead this party. I happen to have a different opinion.
Well, I think as we look forward to the 2018 general election, as Democrats, our goal is to regain the majority. And to regain a majority, we need to win swing districts. And in those swing districts, Leader Pelosi, she's been a very loyal leader. She's worked very hard, and she deserves her due. But in the context of winning the 2018 election and taking the majority, I think it is pretty clear that Leader Pelosi does not help our candidates in those swing districts that are so necessary for us to win in 2018.
It's a little bit softer language than you used before when you said that I think you'd have to be an idiot to think we could win the House with Pelosi at the top. Was that too strong?
No, I was being asked what I thought our chances were, and I honestly was thinking that, to really believe that we can win the 2018 election and regain the majority, given every poll that we see, every stat that we see shows that Leader Pelosi just doesn't help our candidates in those swing districts. So I was asked a question about our ability to win the 2018 elections, and I answered it as honestly as I could.
All right, glad you're with us, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SHAWN, 24 now till the top of the hour. I mean, the mysticism, the shock, the surprise. It's 5-0 for Republicans against Democrats in all these races the Democratic Party thinks that they are going to win.
Now, for those of you that have listened to this show a long time, I know you're a little shocked and surprised and bewildered and befuddled by my position, which is, and I said it last night, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today, I tweeted it out earlier today. I stand with Nancy, meaning Nancy Pelosi. The attacks against her are unprecedented. They're unfair. I'm beginning to wonder if they are not being said out of misogynistic feelings of those in the Democratic Party. I'm not sure yet. I'm beginning to sense that there's an attack on her, not because of her failures, but because, you know, what did she have to do with the 6th District? Why would she be held responsible? Seems very unfair to me. Joining us, John McLaughlin, pollster, founder, McLaughlin & Associates, Doug Schoen, pollster, author, political analyst, Fox News, and welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
And I stand with Nancy, Doug. I mean, I think this is an important moment to stand up for the former speaker.
You may, Sean, and it's very much in the Republicans' interest, but as one of the interlocutors said, she does not help with swing voters. She doesn't understand what needs to be said. I do not consider myself misogynistic at all. I do consider myself practical and practical.
Doug, with all due respect,
she's got to go.
That would be the Democratic attack if you're opposing her. It must be because you're a woman. You're opposing Hillary. So I was being obviously facetious.
That may be the Democratic attack, but the facts are she is not the person to carry the Democratic mantle into the 2018 election.
Well, but they're probably going to pick somebody more liberal, Doug. I mean, you know it, and I know.
I'm not a liberal. I'm a moderate. I'm a John F. Kennedy Democrat. That's a different breed of cat than Nancy Pelosi.
Listen, Doug, you didn't hear me. You are more of a moderate. You're like a rare breed. You're a Scoop Jackson Democrat. I get it. But there's like 10 of you left in the country.
I understand, sadly.
Okay, so what I was saying is they will likely pick somebody more left-wing. They're not going to move to the center.
I prefer Steny Hoyer to her or Tim Ryan. Easy.
All right, but do you think they get it? Do you think
the
liberal
base of the party? I think Tim Ryan gets it, and Steny Hoyer is much more flexible than Pelosi.
Okay, well, I'm not sure it would be her. You know the amazing thing about this? John McLaughlin, 2 weeks out of the Georgia 6th race, some of you are asking, why aren't you talking about it, honey? Why aren't you talking about it? Because I knew Karen Handel would win. And I stayed in very close touch with Newt Gingrich, who was in touch with Georgia's number one pollster, Matt Towery, who was in touch with Randy Evans. And remember, I lived in the 6th District, and I have more than a few contacts there. And I just knew Handel was going to win, and I didn't want to rock the boat or act like I was nervous when I knew, in fact, she would scoot into victory and that the liberal media would have to shift immediately back to Russia and conspiracies. But, John, your data had it. You know, again, the media is wrong. You're right.
Well, it was actually, we did polling. Our firm, my brother Jim, did polling for.
Wait a minute. Then it must be inaccurate. Jim is not the good pollster in the family.
But to stop, actually, Jim got this right. But in Georgia, we do a lot of work. Governor Deal's our client. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle's our client. We got members of Congress down there. But you're from Georgia, and this district, what they forgot is Donald Trump, the president. I did his polling in Georgia during the campaign. Donald Trump got 160,000 votes out of this district. In the special election where turnout went up, Karen Handel got 128,000 votes. The voters were there, and you know from our polls that the president has a 90% approval rating among those people that voted for him last fall. In fact, his base gives him a two-thirds strongly approve. So the votes were there. The polls, for some reason, a lot of these pollsters don't want to interview people if they were a Republican or if they're a Trump supporter. So they skip it and they lowball the Republicans, and they're wrong. And then they also skip people like Doug, who are moderate, reasonable Democrats that will agree with us on security issues, that will agree with us that a Kennedy Democrat, tax cuts grow the economy. And, you know, the problem isn't Nancy Pelosi. The problem is she represents what's left of the Democrat Party. And what's left of the Democrat Party goes way to the left, where I've often said that, you know, they're drinking their own Kool-Aid now, where they put out a poll and they're saying, oh, everybody hates this president and you know, he's wrong on all these policies. And they've skewed the polls, and they drink their own Kool-Aid on these polls where they're saying, oh, we're going to win, and then they get crushed. So it's really a situation here. As long as the president keeps his base excited, intact, and actually gets some successes to broaden his base, the Republicans will keep the House, and they will expand their Senate majority, and Donald Trump will be on his way to reelection. Long way to go, but that's the plan.
I think with all the noise and all the conspiracy theories, and I think the biggest problem for the Democrats, and I think Doug will probably agree with me, is they have no alternative, they have no agenda, and they have a track record of 8 years of pretty abysmal failure. So I think...
The Democrats, Sean?
Yes.
Yeah, they, you're right. I mean, there is no message. And the message that exists, the Bernie Sanders message, is a losing message. I mean, let's just face facts, Sean. I would like to say something else. I'd like to disagree with you. I'd like to tell you you're wrong. I'd like to say all of that stuff. But you know what, Sean? The Democratic Party is in grave crisis. I say this as a loyal centrist Democrat. We do not have a way to win in 2018 or 2020. And it isn't Hillary Clinton and it isn't Joe Biden, I can tell you that.
Listen, I agree with all of that. And the fact that they even mentioned Hillary is beyond bewildering. I also think there's going to be a major shift in terms of, you know, where the investigations now go. I think there's a vulnerability for Comey. I think there's a vulnerability now we see Loretta Lynch. There's now a probe into her behavior. I also think Hillary committed multiple felonies and obstruction, and I think she's in deep trouble. I think that there's no way the Democrats go that hard on something that doesn't exist and it not boomerang back around against them, except this time the facts will bear out the crimes were committed. I think it's been a horrible strategy on their part, and it's only been inevitable, John McLaughlin, that it does boomerang back.
Right, and I disagree with the idea that the Democrat Party has no message. The Democrat Party that Nancy Pelosi runs and as Doug labeled the Bernie Sanders Party, they've got a plan. It's single-payer health care, which is government-run, increasing taxes, fewer jobs, open borders where we allow terrorists and criminals in, weaker national security where we've got Iran and North Korea developing nuclear weapons. I mean, there is a problem with the Democrat Party, that their agenda is not the agenda of mainstream America, and it's not the agenda that America can look forward to. So that's, and by the way, that's how these Republicans are winning these special elections, because when they don't just say we're against Nancy Pelosi.
They've got an agenda.
We're against Nancy Pelosi's health care, et cetera. It's the agenda. And whether she's there or the next one comes in, it's going to be the same agenda, because that's what Barack Obama left in place.
All right,
and
stay right there.
And he was a failed president.
We got to take a break.
You know,
stay right there. John, we'll take a break. We'll come back to you and more about why the Democrats keep losing. I stand with Nancy. If you agree with that, go to my Twitter page, at Sean Hannity, and you can retweet it. And I think it's horrible what they're doing to her. And if it was a Republican woman, you know the Democrats would say, that's sexist, that's misogynistic. Oh, really? Is it the same when they do it? As we continue, John McLaughlin, Doug Schoen are with us. Nancy Pelosi on the verge of being thrown out as the leader in the Democratic Party in the House. What do you make, Doug, of all of the anger, all the Hollywood anger towards the president, all the death threats against the president? Johnny Depp, only the latest in a series. What do you make of the targeted list of assassinations against Republicans? Do you tie the incendiary rhetoric of the left to some of the actions of some of these people that are weak-minded?
I tie the incendiary record to the fact that the Democrats have not done the hard work of developing an agenda that is centrist, that is inclusive, that is pro-values, that is pro-capitalist. And to me, you can disagree with Donald Trump, and I do, without engaging in Trump derangement syndrome. I think that's completely crazy. And the fact that the Democrats don't have alternative positions on health care, infrastructure, and tax reform to the Republican positions is, in my judgment, political malpractice.
What do you think, John? I mean, is there a connection here? And imagine, by the way, if there was a loony conservative that listened to talk radio or watch Fox News, and one lunatic goes out there and do something, don't you think it would be... And by the way, God forbid, we don't want anybody being hurt.
Right.
What happened to Steve Scalise is a disgrace. You know, people celebrating it is even more disgraceful. But if it happened, I mean, why do I think the coverage would be very different?
You took the words right out of my mouth. It's like, what's scary about this is, for those of us who work campaigns and work with elected officials, a lot of times in a campaign, you're hiring an off-duty police officer or a retired state trooper to be the driver for a candidate, so he has around-the-clock security almost. And some of my members besides, you know, the House leadership, I mean, you have members who now have to get death threats who have police cars. And it's a real change. And, you know, what happened to Congressman Scalise is a real tragedy. And if it was the other way around, then it was some right of center kook who had shot a left of center politician, I'm sure that you know, there would have been no end to where they'd be berating the president to apologize, et cetera. But God bless Congressman Scalise that he's fighting and he's getting better. You know, what's going on right now, they got to tone it down. I mean, it's basically the intolerant left is really driving an agenda that is harmful to the nation, but it's also that when you have this kind of violence, whether it was at Trump rallies last year or it was, you know, where Trump supporters were being attacked before and after rallies, and now you're getting somebody who basically drives to Washington so he can shoot Republican congressmen, there's something really wrong going on right now.
All right, guys, thank you both. 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. News Roundup, information overload. The latest on the deep state and on one of our top stories today. The Senate now announces, yes, Loretta Lynch will be investigated for what potentially could be her obstruction of justice. We'll continue.
Coming up next, our final News Roundup and information overload hour.
You said in your opening statement, or in your prepared remarks, that to your knowledge there was no vote tallying changes, that no one's vote was they voted one way and it recorded some other way. Is that still your opinion, that with respect to the 16 election, that the intrusions or attempted, whatever it is, Russians or others did not affect the actual voting itself?
Based on everything I know, that is correct. I know of no evidence that through cyber intrusions votes were altered or suppressed in some way.
At the time you separated from service in January of 2017, had you seen any evidence that Donald Trump or any member of his campaign colluded, conspired, or coordinated with the Russians or anyone else to infiltrate or impact our voter infrastructure?
Not beyond what has been out there open source, and not beyond anything that I'm sure this committee has already seen and heard before directly from the intelligence community. So the only thing I'd have on that is derivative of what the intelligence community has and the law enforcement community.
Can you elaborate more on what the DHS's connection with the DNC was, or consultation with the DNC was, after you became aware of the hacking and they became aware of the hacking, as to what was offered them, what they accepted? Was there any level of cooperation at all?
To my disappointment, not to my knowledge, sir. And this is a question I asked repeatedly when I first learned of it. You know, what are we doing? Are we in there? Are we helping them discover the vulnerabilities? Because this was fresh off the OPM experience. And there was a point at which DHS cybersecurity experts did get into OPM and actually help them discover the bad actors and patch some of the exfiltrations, or at least minimize some of the damage. And so I was anxious to know whether or not our folks were in there. And the response I got was FBI had spoken to them. They don't want our help. They have CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity firm. And that was the answer I got after I asked the question a number of times over the progression of time.
Now, that was, I assume, totally different from the reaction you got from OPM.
The OPM effort, we were actually in there on site helping them find the bad actors.
Do you know who it was at the DNC who made that decision, or who was making the resistance?
No.
No. Do you know if the FBI continued to try to help, try to assist?
I have, I've read in the New York Times about those efforts sometime earlier this year.
Secretary Johnson says the DNC rebuffed the help that they offered. You're saying that no one ever contacted you.
Respectfully, Secretary Johnson is utterly misinformed. That is simply not accurate. And much that has been written about the timeline of events by the New York Times, the Washington Post, that document through multiple sources, including me, that the FBI and other federal agencies did virtually nothing to make sure that when they were aware, at the point that they were aware that there was, or concerned that there was an intrusion on our network by the Russians, that they did virtually nothing to sound the alarm bells to make us aware of that. And they left, essentially, the Russians on our network for more than, for almost a year.
I don't believe a word I just heard there from Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Anyway, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. Your call's coming up at the bottom of the hour in our Friday Florida Georgia Line concert series. Puts you in a good mood on a Friday as you're heading on home to a relaxing weekend, we hope. I don't believe a word she said. Now, she's contradicting Obama's Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson. She is conflicted with the words of James Comey and the FBI in the numerous reports. Whatever the Washington Post and New York Times had to say with their unnamed sources is irrelevant to anybody that cares about truth. In this day and age of the destroy Trump, lie about Trump, obsessive media with their ideology. And the bottom line is numerous attempts were made by the government, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security. And remember, they're testifying under oath. I doubt they're lying. But the rejection by the DNC of any attempt to help them with potential hacking of their system was rejected outright. And she forgot to mention that they brought in their own person because they rejected the DHS. They rejected the FBI. And then they bring in their own person. Now, what is it that they were afraid to show? And we know that Debbie Wasserman Schultz and six people fired on the eve of the Democratic National Convention. Why? Because probably she didn't want them seeing what was widespread corruption and collusion and disenfranchisement of Bernie Sanders and his supporters and the fix being in with the help of the DNC to get Hillary Clinton the nomination. And that, I suspect, I mean, if you put together my interviews with Julian Assange and you put together him saying it wasn't Russia, it wasn't a state, I suspect, and based on other sources, I'm about 90% certain that we're now at the point that it likely was a DNC disgruntled whistleblowing truth teller that saw the corruption and was disgusted. And they couldn't believe the DNC and Hillary were so corrupt, which, by the way, would be cause for yet another investigation. Mismanagement of funds, false pretenses, people giving money to the DNC thinking they're going to be fair. Good luck with that. Anyway, joining us now to discuss is Jesse Jane Duff. By the way, 20 years active duty Marine Corps, retired a gunnery sergeant, now a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. And Dr. Wendy Acefo is back with us, professor of education, Johns Hopkins University. Jesse Jane Duff, it was great to see you this week. And wow, you had some very powerful statements about the deep state. Before we get to that, does this story about Debbie Wasserman Schultz make any sense to you? Or do you think Obama's DHS director was telling the truth?
No, I think that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has circled the wagons to only care for her own reputation. And the embarrassment of what was said in those emails has never been discussed nor denied by the Democratic Party. All of those emails revealed the mask that they wear and how they felt about the voters, how they felt about Latinos, how they felt about Catholics, how they felt about pretty much every single group that they felt should not be of influence in this election other than Hillary's words that should have made her or anointed her president of the United States. I'm disgusted that the party itself has not come forward and said what was said in those emails is what we should be ashamed of. We are sorry. No, instead, we're still doing Russia, Russia, Russia. And I do believe that Russia had very little to do with this election, just like you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And the fact that there's no evidence that they cast any ballots anywhere in the United States.
Well, that was reiterated twice again this week, that there was no impact on votes regardless of what they did or didn't do. And there's no evidence of any collusion. Well, I don't even know what collusion means. I mean, Jesse, if collusion means that somehow somebody in the Trump campaign said to Russia, hey, release the information if you have the truth that Hillary erased illegally, is that collusion to say, tell the American people the truth? I don't even think that's collusion.
We both know what this really is. It's a distraction. It's to undermine the president of the United States, a sitting president of the United States. If this was such an offense, then why aren't they holding President Obama to task and his former FBI directors? Why aren't they holding the administration that this happened under their watch accountable?
All right, let me now go to Wendy. Wendy, let me ask you a question. When Debbie Wasserman Schultz and these people got fired on the eve
of the Democratic National Convention. And it was revealed that the fix was in for Bernie, but we already knew the fix was in for Bernie. We already knew it was rigged with all the superdelegate counts that were out there already. And Bernie knew it. Why he's not angrier, I don't know, but I would be pretty pissed off. So if you're a Bernie supporter, don't you have a right to be really angry that the DNC colluded with Hillary Clinton to put the fix in and rig the primary? Don't they have a right to be angry about that? I'm angry about it, and I'm not even a Bernie supporter. I think it's just corrupt.
If that is the case, then Bernie supporters do have a right.
What do you mean, if it's the case? Why did Debbie Wasserman Schultz get fired?
If that is the case, Sean.
I asked you a question. Why did Debbie Wasserman Schultz? Why can't you answer my question? Why did Debbie Wasserman Schultz get fired?
At the end of the day, as American citizens, anything that interferes with our democracy, no matter what side of the aisle in which you stand upon.
So it's wrong. Let me make sure I understand you. So it's wrong for any country to try to influence American elections. I agree with you on that. You would think it's wrong, right?
Absolutely.
So would it be wrong if President Obama tried to influence the outcome of an election in Israel? Would that be equally wrong to you, especially one of our closest allies, and trying to defeat Prime Minister Netanyahu? Is that as equally wrong to you?
If the president tried to do it, if it was for security reasons, if it had anything to do with that?
Security reasons. No, the president spent taxpayer dollars from the State Department and sent his entire election team over to Israel to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu. Why is nobody on the left upset about that?
Well, Sean, at the end of the day, what matters is what's going
on. You can't answer any of my questions. You have no intention of answering one question I ask you, do you?
Because you're pivoting. And
pivoting? I asked you, is it wrong for America to influence other elections? It is a fact that Obama's State Department spent our money trying to do just that.
No, because
read.
Speaking about the issues. The issue is that if Russia interfered in our elections as Americans, this has nothing to do with it.
There's been testimony that they've done it in past elections, and they'll do it in future elections, and that they weren't successful, Jesse.
Well, I got to give Democrats a lot of credit, because they at least unite around each other. Republicans don't. And the fact of the matter is if that we saw that level of corruption within the Republican Party, the people that are supporting President Trump right now would be uprising within our own party, which many of us are already doing. We have establishment Republicans, and we will call them out. And I just cannot for the life of me understand why Democrats don't want to remove the corruption within their own party, because it does nothing for the American people to justify bad behavior. Rigging elections, pointing fingers at Russia. Why don't they clean out their own party? I tell you what, Republicans are desperately trying to flush the toilet of all of these bad Republicans that we feel are not helping our president. So I will give them credit. They circle the wagons, and they'll stand by their girl, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They'll stand by the president who tried to influence elections. And you know what? Trump supporters have a lot of hope in this president. But if we find out for 2 seconds he was lying to us or had spread some illusion, we will turn and pivot and find a new man. We're not going to tolerate this anymore.
Got to take a break. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. All right, as we continue, we'll get to your calls at the bottom of the half hour. Jesse Dane, Jane Duff and Wendy Osefo is with us. Welcome back, both of you. Why won't you answer any of my questions? Why don't you just admit that what they did to Bernie was wrong? Why can't you just say, yeah, it was wrong, and that's why Debbie Wasserman Schultz got fired? Why do you resist admitting that?
I'm not resisting admitting that. I simply
so you'll
said
say
in
it's
the
true. So it bothers
that
you.
Anyone who interferes in any election, whether it's for Bernie, whether it's for Hillary, no matter who it's for, it
Can
is
I ask
wrong.
You a question?
Absolutely.
All right. So will you agree with this statement? What the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign did to Bernie Sanders, colluding against him, conspiring against him, rigging the election against him, was wrong. Can you say it?
I will not agree with that because I do not have evidence that conclusively said that that's what they did.
Oh, my God. All right. Next question. Very important question. Do you agree that the Obama administration tried to influence the Israeli elections?
Again, I will not agree with that because I do not have evidence that conclusively says that that is what he did.
I don't know. What am I supposed to do here, Jane? Jesse Jane, what am I supposed to do? These are simple, undisputed, incontrovertible facts.
I think denial is not just the river of Egypt. Many people who are very loyal to their party, and you'll find them on our side also. You'll find them where they get so disillusioned with their own party or so under illusion of their own party that they will stand by even the level of corruption that we're seeing demonstrated. What it boils down to is the American people are fed up. And until Democrats recognize that, they're going to lose in every other election. It's time for Democrats and Republicans to drain the swamp. And guess what? A lot of Democrats can survive this mess if they unite and help do that. I noticed during the Sessions hearings which Democrats were just horrible to Senator Sessions, but I also noticed a very wise Democrat who treated him with absolute dignity and respect because she saw the rats jumping off the ship for this Russia collusion, and that was Senator Feinstein. She treated him with absolute dignity and respect. Now, my parents happen to be from California, and they've always told me that they continue to vote for her because she's actually done a lot of good. Now, I can't always agree with that, but with that said, this divisiveness is because of people refusing to admit when their own party is dirty. Republicans have had to admit it. In fact, we fire people so dang fast when we find out that they've done something nasty and dirty, and we don't circle the wagons on that. Republicans are very quick to call out their own. But on the flip side to that, Democrats are going to keep losing if they keep justifying this. And that is what I predict will happen in 2018, because they don't want to come out and say that President Obama did something wrong. They don't want to admit Deputy Wasserman Schultz tried to influence the election, and they won't admit that they anointed a candidate, which is unheard of. We've never seen that in my lifetime, and I don't know about 100 years ago, but that was just appalling to me.
I think you're 100% right. We never seen Hillary Clinton. When you read the law, you do understand, Wendy, that the mishandling of classified, top secret, special access program information, the mishandling of it is a felony. You do know that, right?
Yes, I know that.
And you do know that destruction of top secret classified special access program information is also a felony, right?
If you're talking about Clinton's email, then we are going down a whole nother rabbit hole.
Well, I'm asking, do you recognize that Hillary Clinton committed felonies? Because I believe she committed multiple felonies.
Let me respond to Jesse as well when she said that we are disillusioned. First of all, I am not registered.
You never answer my question. I don't know how you do this for you.
You
ignore my questions. Why?
That's first of all. I'm not avoiding your question. I'm answering all of your questions, but I do not want to be misquoted because that matters as well.
Okay.
As someone who is not registered to any political party, it matters to me.
All right. Thank you both. Wide Open Phones, Friday concert series, Florida Georgia Line concert series is next. I need a smile. I need an uplift. Here it comes right after the break and your calls. This is the heart and soul of your country. This is what you demanded and voted for. Now that you're all trying to steal it from you. You got the coalition against the president. You've got, obviously, the deep state, which is the worst, selective, leaking, constantly trying to undermine this president. Never seen anything like it in my lifetime. Then you got the deeply corrupt, destroy Trump media. It's unbelievable how abusively biased, agenda-driven, ideological they are. Not a surprise. We know they colluded with Hillary Clinton. And then, on top of that, then you got weak Republicans. And then you got the Republicans that were never Trumpers. Yeah, that would have been a great Supreme Court choice by Hillary Clinton instead of Neil Gorsuch. And then you got on top of that Democrats that are just unhinged. Look, you've got Hollywood, you've got journalists, you've got all of these people. Just look at what we have in front of us today. Look at these attacks. Look at what's being said out there on a daily basis. Listen to this Nebraska technology chairman for the state Democratic Party. He's glad Steve Scalise got shot. He wishes him dead.
Let me tell you, that motherfucker, was the one that was shot, the Scafie guy? I mean, that guy, what's his name, Chase?
I really don't want you to deflect right now.
No, this motherfucker, like, his whole job is, like, to get people, convince Republicans to kick people off health care.
We know all of this.
I hate this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got shot.
We've laid in our...
I'm glad he got shot.
So then
dude, I'm not going to say that in public.
You don't have
well,
to
then
say
what
that
are you saying it to us
say
for?
Say something.
What are you telling us for?
I wish he was f***ing dead.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Let's wish the Steve Scalise, who got targeted for assassination, shot, was on his deathbed in a hospital operating room. Oh, okay. Let's wish him dead. Or be Johnny Depp. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president? Oh, really? This guy should be arrested.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president? I want to clarify. I'm not an actor. I lie for a living.
lie for a living. Oh, great. Let me give you one example. Patti LuPone. I won't perform for Trump. I hate the MF-er.
Why should President Trump come see your show?
Well, I hope he doesn't, because I won't perform if he does.
Really?
Really.
Tell me why.
Because I hate the motherfucker. How's that?
Oh, you have to be a liberal to go see Patti LuPone. Oh, okay. All right, we got one other one.
You've been through some troubling days here with the shooting in Alexandria. We are so grateful that Congressman Scalise and his comrades made it through. So grateful. We hold them up.
You know what? I want to just step in here because I actually met Bono over Christmas. I'd never met him before. What a nice man. What a difference. He's saying, we're so grateful that Steve Scalise and his comrades made it through, that his buddies made it through, that they didn't die, and that they pulled out of this. Now, there is a good, decent, kind, gracious soul. I don't know what his politics are. They seem a little left of center to me, but that's how I'd feel if any Democrat got shot. I don't want anybody dying. How many times when Obama was president and little things came up, we always said, we've got to protect our politicians. It's not about politics. It's about the country. It's about the office. It's about the presidency. Let's go to our busy telephones here. Let's say hi to Michelle is in Cary, North Carolina. What's up, Cary? We're going to go down to North Carolina over the summer with Mark Meadows, and hopefully you can come see us.
I would love to. I heard you mention that yesterday. I want to know the dates. I'll be there.
Okay, I promise. We'll give as much leadway as we can, but I'm definitely doing it. We're also going to go to Ohio and hang out with Jim Jordan, too.
That sounds awesome. I want to thank you just for the honor of talking to you, and thank you for being a voice of education and information, because, Sean, that is what got Donald Trump elected, because he saw that the people needed, he trusts in the intelligence of the American people to be able to make an informed decision. The Democrats are only, as you see, running on platforms of hatred and impending doom and emotional manipulation. And one of the things that I think we need to educate the American people about is the fact that our First Amendment rights end, my right to free speech ends as soon as it threatens the rights of another person. If my speech or actions threaten someone's life or their family or their livelihood or their reputation, that's against the law. I mean, there used to be 20 years ago words about hate speech, you know, rules about hate speech, and people were, you know, found fault for that. And now we just claim that we can say anything, and it's our right to free speech, and it's just not true.
Listen, I got to tell you something. I find the language, the coarseness, the mean-spiritedness, the vile attacks, I got to tell you, it's unprecedented to me. And I know there were people that said horrible things against Obama. Now, I subsequently went after him almost daily. On substance, on failure, on policies, on ideology, on what I felt was him hiding who he truly was, a rigid, radical ideologue, an Alinsky disciple, an Acorn activist, a Frank Marshall Davis disciple, a Reverend Wright buddy, a Bill Ayers Bernardine Dorn friend. All legitimate criticism. And you know what? We barely survived the mess he's left us in. But that's political. It's not personal. I've said he's a good father. I have nothing against him. What are you saying in my ear, Linda?
I was saying that we actually have a couple of examples of you saying that the president should be protected, that the president should not be hurt. When Obama was our president.
I have not heard this. Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, you're going to have strong feelings about this. We've now learned that this guy that broke into the White House, not only did he get in the door, but he knocked down a Secret Service agent, went into three different rooms of the White House, and passed the stairs that would have gone right up to the residence of the Obamas. That is extraordinarily chilling to me.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about protecting the President of the United States of America, and it's just there's no room for error. You've got to protect our president. That represents the free world. So they've got a very difficult job. They've got to almost be perfect. And anytime any incident happens, lately it's becoming pretty high profile. Well, and if we're not protecting our president, we're not protecting our leaders, we've got a big problem. The rest of the world is watching this.
Well, I did say it. How many times do you think we said it over the course of that 8-year period, Linda?
Dozens? I mean, we have several examples. I just pulled, you know, three from 2014 and 2015, but I think it's pretty obvious the difference between the right and the left and the un-American and the American these days.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It really is. And this is the left. Anyway, back to our phones. Thank you so much, Michelle. Tanya is in Kennesaw in Georgia next on the Sean Hannity Show. How are you? Welcome to the program, Tanya.
Hey, Sean. How are you today?
I'm good. By the way, thanks to Georgia. It was great this week.
Oh, it was great. But, you know, I wondered for so long, why did we appear to be so important, the 6th District? Well, I think I figured it out. I don't think most people realize that Georgia is now number one in the movie industry. We have Pinewood Studios. We have all kinds of studios going in around here. There are 14 sound stages, at least, at Pinewood. We have some of the biggest movies are being made here in TV shows and that kind of thing. And I thought, why did these Californians, why do these celebrities think they can come here and take over our election process and they can drive people to get, you know, to vote? Well, it's because they're coming here. And, I mean, in the presidential election, I believe that President Trump took a little over 1.5% of that district. And I live in Cobb County, which we used to be that district, but they redistricted us. But I'm still in Cobb County, and so it's the 6th district.
But it got it's redistricted since Newt was there. It's been redistricted since Newt Gingrich was, but it's a different district. You look at DeKalb County, I mean, it's pretty heavily Democratic.
Oh, I know. It's totally different since Newt was here and Bob Barr and all that, and we missed them. Cobb County went blue. I've never said that.
Well, the Cobb County went really red when needed for Karen Handel. I looked at all.
Oh, thank God! Yes.
Yeah, it did.
Absolutely.
I looked at all the. I looked at all the different districts. I did.
No, you're absolutely right. But it just concerned me that we went blue for the presidential election. But the point I'm going to make, and I'll try to get to it quickly, is that with all the movies and the TV shows and all that stuff, all the liberals from California are coming here. And we're grateful for the jobs. We are grateful for the money that's bringing to the state. But they are so high-handed. You know, according to the law that brought them here, they should only have 20% of out-of-towners. They just ignore that. You know, it should be 80% us working on these different projects, and they just ignore it. And they do everything they can to undermine the local people. But they're moving here, and that's the thing. It's going to change the whole demographic, we'll end up being the California of the South, and that is the thing that concerns my family
and my friends and myself. This is my fear, and I got to let you go. You make a lot of good points, Tanya. And what my fear is that these people from New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Illinois and California to Texas, all these people that ruin their states, they get out because the taxes and regulation are so abusively high and burdensome. And then they come to states that are run well with low taxes, limited regulation, and then they go and destroy the next state. It's ridiculous. If you're going to move, don't bring your stupid values with you. Maybe we need a litmus test against stupidity. All right, that's going to wrap things up today. Tonight, who are the two men in America most responsible for fake news and pushing conspiracy theories to hurt the president? I will expose them on Hannity. Also, we'll be exposing Loretta Lynch now under investigation for obstruction. Anyway, we'll have all of that. Also, Jay Sekulow, Geraldo Rivera, Greg Jarrett, Charlie Kirk tonight, Lara Trump tonight. And we'll have Ainsley with her interview with the president and Melania Trump. And my special monologue, who are the two people most responsible for fake news and conspiracy news in America? 10 Eastern tonight. Thanks for being with us. See you back here on Monday. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrna less lethal pistol launcher.
It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider.